Joining us on the phone this morning is Mike Hurst from Hurst Electric Company, Andy's Angels, Andy's Place. You got a lot of stuff going on right now these days, don't you, Mike?
Absolutely. I'm only 65. That's a new 45, so I'm in pretty good shape. just hitting my stride right now.
Well, great. Well, we're glad to have you out there doing the things you're doing because I think you're really making an impact on the community. I don't think there's any question about that.
I'm really excited. Did you know the community has been so supportive? It's been unreal. We have three more of these other projects we're looking at, but nobody has come to the plate like the community of Jackson has and offered their support, whether at the federal level, the local level, the state level. Everybody's came together, and we looked for answers and not for problems. We didn't look for, when something came up, we looked for a way around it. We didn't say, hey, we can't do this, or this is impossible, or, oh, I knew this was a bad idea. So we've just pressed forward, and, when you got a lot of really smart people working on a project like this, the first of its kind in the nation, you're going to get some good results. And we stayed left the politics out of the whole program and just worked at finding answers and not ideology issues going on. And I think that really helped us a lot, too. Everybody's got a great opinion, got a great answer, got a great idea, but if we're unable to mesh those ideas because of our political affiliation, then those ideas go for naught. So we're really excited that we were able to get across all that without no battles, no fights, nothing but helping each other and moving forward and trying to help the people of this community.
Yeah, that's rare these days to have that kind of an issue that kind of crosses all political lines and gets support from every which corner. So give us an update. What's the status on Andy's Place?
Well, we're going to be open before the end of the year. The court system right now, they're putting together the procedures and the rules of operation, and construction is moving along at a very fast rate here. We didn't let the virus slow us down. We took sure. Volunteers back to work. And the amazing thing is, Steve, the first two people I asked, one was a former heroin addict and the other one was a former alcoholic that have rebuilt their lives. They were the first two to volunteer. And the third person was a young kid that works for me. And I said, do you want to come back to work? I said, that's okay. But, you're giving up this money for staying at home doing nothing. He looks me right in the eye and he says, hey, I got a one-year-old kid. I think it's more important that I improve myself in my position in life so that I'm better able to take care of my young child rather than sitting home and collecting money for doing nothing. And I said, man, with a
Well, so Mike, for anybody who's kind of unfamiliar, give us a little background on what this project is going to look like when it comes to fruition.
Well, we've been treating addiction for a long time, and the people that work in that field work really hard. But they only treat them for a short period of time. We take somebody, we spend $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 sending them to a rehab facility for 30 days, maybe 90 days. But it takes a year and a half for the brain to really to start to heal, for the cells that create dopamine to actually start creating dopamine again so that you can live a normal life. So without the long-term care, all that money we spend up front is wasted. We have about a 90% failure rate. So, we're looking away. How can we make this long-term care? Certainly, if you're rich, you're wealthy, you can get long-term care. You can afford it. But that's not for everybody. Most of us can't afford something like that. I certainly couldn't afford to spend 2 years in a rehab facility. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we combine the low-income housing model and then put it together with the drug court. So then now somebody, they get in trouble, or they got a substance abuse problem, they get in trouble, they're going to go to court, try to get into drug court. If you can get into drug court because you got a nonviolent offense, we're going to send you to rehab, or they're going to send you to rehab, I should say. You get out of rehab, that judge is going to sentence you now to come live at Andy's Place. Instead of just putting you on probation, sending you back out in the street, now you have to live in this nice, clean, safe environment, which is what they need. When you just let somebody... You spend all this money on rehab, and they've been to jail, they've done everything, and then you put them out in the real world and say, there you go. Well, they fail immediately. It's like sending the alcoholic to the apartment that he lived in above the bar before he try to quit drinking. It's just not going to work. So within this facility, you know, first off, you got a nice apartment. You got a clean place. You have security in there. Obviously, people are going to be drug tested. You're not going to be thrown out of the program because you tested positive. You might have to spend a few weekends in jail. But the idea here is that the zero tolerance just doesn't work, period. You can talk about it all day long if you want. I'm just telling you, the zero tolerance from the authoritarian side does not work on this issue. So anyways, we got them in this nice, clean environment. While they're there, we got lots of people from the community that want to come in and teach them some life skills, because that's what somebody really needs, you know. Mm-hmm. Jeez, now that I've got my life back together, now how do I rebuild it? I have no clue. I have no idea. Nobody ever taught them. Nobody ever told them that, hey, you can go from where you're at today and in 5 years now have your own business. They don't know how to make those steps, and we're going to create an atmosphere and an environment, and the people there are going to be able to teach them how to get to those spots that we all want to be at, how to be self-sufficient, how to be an individual, how not to go along with the crowd, be an independent thinker, how to handle money, you know, why is it so important to start saving money at this early in life, and you know, you can't just expect somebody to take care of you all your life. You know, that's very rewarding to take care of yourself, and we want them to feel that. We want them to feel that feeling you get when you got your first job, when you got your first paycheck, when you bought your first house, when you had your first child. All those things that we all enjoy. We want other people to enjoy those same things. And you know, a lot of people that are involved in substance abuse, they've forgotten how to dream, Steve.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you say a lot of things there that, you know, maybe I don't consider being tools to help avoid relapse or avoid future addiction is having other things to look forward to in life that are probably a part of the program that, like you said, doesn't necessarily get mentioned in a 30-day or 90-day rehab situation where they're basically just trying to keep you from using. And those other tools, those other skills are going to be useful to long term, give you something else to focus on, I guess.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people want to be successful in life, they just don't know how to do it. Nobody's ever taught them. Maybe the environment they came from, you know, didn't have that opportunity for them. Well, we want to give them that opportunity. We want them to know people care. We want to know everybody's got a smart brain, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just got to unlock that baby and teach them how to use it. You know, I like to talk to young kids, and you know, and they're really at the bottom of their life. I mean, they come in and they see me, and they got an opioid dependence problem, and they're so depressed they can't stand it. They don't want to live. They don't even know what their purpose is in life. You know, it's every day is I got to get up, I got to get the money, I got to go buy the drug, and tomorrow I got to do it all over again. You know, so there's no room to do anything to expand the mind.
Sure.
And we want to teach them those things. We want to teach them about interest rates. You know, most people, these kids don't have a clue. You know, I talk to them about an interest rate, man. I don't even know, Mike. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you know, you want to stay away from predatory lenders. You want to get, you know, make good deals. You want to make your money work for you. You have to know those things, and they're not hard. These are basic skills you know, you can teach anybody some of this stuff. They don't have to know all the details. They just have to have an idea of how the whole system works and how the government works. I really think that a lot of people think that the government just has a big money machine somewhere and they dole it out to everybody that needs it. And that's just not how it works. You have to understand, you know.
Sure.
How this whole process works, and that actually the people that are working are helping to pay for the people that can't work due to disability. And that's why it's important that we, if you can work, you've got to contribute to the pot. And it's fulfilling to be a contributor. It's fulfilling to take care of your family. It's fulfilling. And these people, they just haven't had that in their life. They haven't had any successes. They haven't had any wins. And we want to give them those wins. And, you know, I work with people all the time. I have, like I said, two employees here. My number one employee here happened to be a former heroin addict that was almost dead 2 years ago. He's rebuilt his entire life up. You know, he has control of my shop. He has my keys. He can do anything he wants. He has, rebuilt his life, and I trust him 100%. And people have to understand that this is entirely possible. You know, everybody you talk to that doesn't know, I should say, is not very educated on this subject. Oh, there's Mike, you know, I know you work hard at this, but really there's nothing you can do for somebody who's been a former heroin addict or is a heroin addict or is a meth addict. And that's just totally untrue. takes a long time, and you have to understand the science behind it. And then you have to give them this third element, which is what we're talking about today, the life skills they need to survive out in the real world. And we got Community Action Agency right on the ground floor there. So everything that they need to try to get their hands on, mm-hmm. whether it be some type of skill they need to learn, whether it maybe need some help with their food, whatever the case may be, Community Action Agency is right down there to help them with all these government programs that are not taken advantage of.
Well, I was going to kind of say that, you know, we're talking about Andy's Place being kind of you get in there through the court system, really. So if you're somebody who's who's using, who has not been implemented into the court system, but you're wanting to make a change, what do you recommend to those people?
Well, that's a little down the road, Steve, but don't you think we weren't working on that before this
sure.
even came to light? So what we do now is, you know, I have to work really close with somebody, you know, get them into a rehab facility for at least 30 days. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a lot of people in town. I don't do it myself, but there's a lot of licensed recovery coaches. They do a very wonderful job of getting somebody back to the point they're supposed to be. But without that proper environment, they're just fighting a losing battle most of the time. So, you know, really phase two of this project, and you know, this is, I like to dream too, Steve.
Sure.
And we've already put that dream, the second dream in motion to make this available for people not in drug court with more property to the west that we'd like to purchase. You know, I'm just talking out loud, Steve. None of these things are cut stone or anything. These are just things we want to do. We want to buy some more property, and we want to make the next phase of this available to anybody. You don't have to be in the drug court.
Yeah.
But we had to work with the state on this, and it's low-income housing. So, hey, if you don't have a job, you're not ready to come to work, you're just not ready. You're not at that point in life. Through your addiction to get back to work, that's okay. It's not going to cost you anything to live there. As you get back to work and you get a job, we find you some employment, you start paying a little bit of that rent, and it's based on your income, so anybody can afford to live in this facility. Anybody can afford to have long-term safe environment to complete their recovery. That was important to me. Anybody that's got a lot of money certainly can get these things any day of the week.
Right.
The majority of the people in this country can't, and we've got to make that available to them.
So, Mike, if somebody wants to help out Andy's Place, Andy's Angels, financially or volunteer-wise, who do they contact and try to get that started?
That would be, just contact me. I think everybody in the state of Michigan has my cell phone number now. It's 517-206-8563. You know, they can call me direct, and I can't always pick up because I'm at my regular job most of the time, but I will return the call later. And we have, you know, we have nurses in this community that came to me and says, hey, we'd like to volunteer our time over there. Because one of the units is a family unit, Steve. Now, when a mom goes through, she gets caught up in the world of addiction. We get her back on her feet. She's completed her court time. She's completed rehab. She's done everything in the world that the state has required for her to do, but she can't get her kids back because she doesn't have a decent place for them to stay. So now, with this program, they'll be able to get their kids back. Their kids will be able to, you know, certainly they gotta jump through some hoops and mm-hmm. Achieve a few goals. But now they can have their kids back, so they can finish their recovery with their children in this safe environment. In an apartment complex that if you drove down or you pulled up inside of it, you would say, boy, there must be some drug acts here. You would say, man, this is a really nice place. I wonder if they have any openings.
Well,
that's what we want, the young kids. We want them kids to grow up in this environment. We, you know, too often kids are morphed into the environment that they came from.
Sure.
Unfortunate.
Well, learn more, andysangels.net online. And, of course, Mike's phone number, 206-8563. One other item, Mike. I mean, as a business owner with the coronavirus and businesses reopening, we always try to gauge the feeling from small business in the community. And how's Hearst Electric Company dealing with the pandemic and opening back up and getting back to work?
Well, we were able to open up before the construction started.
Sure.
We had a school job going that was essential, and of course all our service calls are essential. And this project got shut down for a few weeks, and then we said, hey, we're going to wear masks. We're going to take our temperature every day. There's only a few people in this big building. And, you know, of course, I said, hey, if we can keep the liquor stores open, the weed stores open, then we ought to be able to keep this project open. Everybody agreed to that. And so we went back to work early. We are ahead of schedule on that project. Our workload, you know, we have enough work to last us through the end of the year if I never took another job on.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there if you want to go get it.
Yeah.
The work is out there. Our people all came right back to work. When they came back at first, I said, you know, we're on volunteer basis here because, I'm not going to make anybody work that doesn't want to work in this. And they all wanted to come back to work. So I'm real proud of that. I'm happy for them. And, you know, I think we're okay this year. Next year we might, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens because of the private sector, you know, what's going to go on with the stock market, what's long term. But I believe the state jobs and the public jobs, I think there'll be plenty of those available for construction work, that is. So I'm not concerned right now. I'm never concerned. I always just want to know what the rules are. If we're changing presidents, if we're changing parties, just tell me what the new rules are, and I'll win at that game. And that's the kind of the attitude I think everybody should take, that instead of crying the blues all the time, say, just tell me what the new rules are, and I'll figure a way to make my business prosper. Wow. So that's just my own personal opinion on those things. And, you know, I know you got Mike Shirky coming on this morning, too, and I just want to give him a shout-out, he has been just an integral part of this whole thing to make Jackson the number one city in the country to have this pilot project put together on. And, him and his wife, Sue, are just, they're upstanding people. And I can't say enough about Mike Shirky. And if I said any more, somebody would say I'm doing a campaign ad for him, but I'm not. I'm talking about him as a person, as a man. His moral compass is just unbelievable, and I can't say enough good things about Mike Shirky.
All right, well, thanks so much for giving us some time this morning. Mike Hurst Electric Company, Andy's Angels, and Andy's Place, expecting to be open by the end of the year.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Yeah, have a great morning.